see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to this afternoon, Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Welcome, my name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of this show and this Bible study tonight, broadcast today, 4-6. And I'm still a little hoarse today, working on that, trying to work it out. I've got dozens of recipes to get rid of that hoarseness or something. All kinds of home remedies and what have you. Anyway, for those that sent them, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Tonight, I want to continue on with exposing the heresies that's being taught today in the churches and the religions of different types. Tonight, we'll start off with denial of the literal second coming of Christ. That'll be the first one I'll start off with. I sent out already distribution our last few days of talking about the heresies. Last night we didn't have one, of course, because I had that show last night. American Liberties something, another network, I believe it was. And tonight, of course, we won't finish it tonight, no way. Probably go until Friday and maybe next week. But it's a collection of these heresies that need to be exposed. Sometimes when you're talking to people on the YouTube and Facebook and what have you, and they come up with all these comments, it fits a profile and tells you where they're from, what theology they're coming from. Armstrongism, Calvinism, Preterism, or whatever ism it is. That's religion, including Christianity, which is what it is. So this is the example I'm given that Christianity is not, it's but a religion. And it's not about Christianity for Christ. I support Christianity. Well, Christianity didn't die on a cross. Jesus did. And he rose again. Christianity is just a religion created to mislead us from Jesus. You ever heard that before? Besides my broadcast? I realized that one day. I said, wait a minute. They got it all wrong. Christianity is nothing more than just another religion that's lukewarm. And here's why. And different beliefs. The beliefs are denials of the truth. And just pick and choose what they want. And give it a name. They call it religion. Or a sect of Christianity. Then you have a charismatic speaker. And people needing help. It fills their itchy ears. Made to order like a pizza. And you got yourself cult. Give people hope. They'll draw like a moth to a flame. Now you see why God is so harsh on those that teach the false religion, false sect, false doctrine. Because people don't know any better. But they're looking for help. And deception brings it to it. And that brings them to the second death. And that's what really angers God. His own church turning against him. Well, let's expose some of them. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. Father, in this Bible study, we thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity. Lord, forgive me of my sins, my impatience. Father, sometimes, and Lord, I ask you to guide me in the right path. And convict me, Father, when I sin. Father, we pray. Listen to the prayers. Lord, we got other prayers going out about protecting our families, covering them with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we know the attack is coming. We know the supernatural realm is increasing its influence. This is why, Father, we pray. We pray it away. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, I plead that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over myself, my families, everything that belongs to all of us. Father, we ask you for giant warrior angels and those to be loosed from heaven, surround and protect us all. Lord, as your war club and the weapons of war, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break down and undam and blow up all the walls of protection around all witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, and all the like. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break the power of all curses, the hexes, the vexes, the spells, the charms, the fetishes, the psychic prayers, psychic thought, all witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, the voodoo, and all mind control, the jinxes, the potions, bewitchments, the death and destruction they cause, the sickness and pain to be taken away, the torment to be stopped and sent back in its direction. The psychic power to be broken. Psychic warfare. The prayer chains be broken up. And everything else being sent my way or my family members' way. And those that's praying, Lord, hear their prayers. And Father, return that evil back to where it came from. And the demons and all to the senders. And send it to them back right now. And back to them sevenfold. And Father, I bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Father, I pray that these lost souls, that they'll find the light of your Son, Jesus. And their own snares and traps have been set against themselves. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask you, Lord, to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And Father, we also ask that you bind Holy Spirit to their hearts, and that to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus. and so they may be set free from these bondages of Satan. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, you know, if it wasn't nothing to it, and people think it's all fantasy, right? Like Disney. Then riddle me this. Why then is it so significant that Florida agreed to distribute satanic temple worship materials to school children? All of a sudden. All of a sudden, it's a push in Florida. Satanic Temple announced that it will provide pamphlets on Satanism to students in Florida. The school board decided to permit the distribution of religious materials. All of a sudden, in this here Bible Belt. So they got you in the Oklahoma, the belt buckle. The left arm of the Bible Belt, Florida. And I guess North Carolina, Virginia's next. Who knows all in between. That's how significant it is. And all of a sudden, too. Why change the laws all of a sudden for homosexuals to marry? I mean, some have been married for 50 years. I mean, living together for 50 years, 30 years. Why all of a sudden they get married now? Because they want to change the laws of the land. You change the laws of the land, God will move away from that land. That's how it works. That's what got the earth destroyed in the flood. There was none righteous, except for those on the ship, on the ark. That's why Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed. Because remember, Abraham prayed, and God said, find me 10 righteous men, I'll spare it. See, God knew there was none righteous, not one. So at some point, God's going to let it go. I don't know when. I don't make predictions and all that. But we know at some point he's going to. So when you see this happening, you know you're getting close. They're working on the children for the next generation. Get people ready, testing it out. If the school board decides to do it, they got to the children of the baby boomers, didn't they? You see, little by little, they chip it away. Cartoons, TV, movies, books, all kinds of ways. The Wicca in high schools and colleges, they can profile a student, fellow student, and their situation to know who's a good profile, who's a good possible potential member of Wicca. And they bring them in, all smiles, and we love God. We God of the universe and Mother Nature and all this sort of thing. Sounds really good with all this New Age type thinking. Then things kind of changed a little bit. You know, they invite the Ouija board. They've made it pink. Now they got a pink Bible. Pink Ouija board. And people come up with new Bibles too. We are close. And they're going to make their Hail Mary pass, looks like, again. They've tried making it several times in our history. But we'll see what happens. So the teaching of heresies in the churches goes against the Bible. Therefore, it discredits the Bible. It no longer becomes authority. And that makes the heresy teaching much easier. I mean, it's amazing how fast they're moving. So they got something in store, something in plan in the near future. Once again. So is the Bible literal? If you say no, then you can interpret it any way you want to. And where's it come from? Let's see about this universalism. How about this?
The Bible is an amazing book.
Is it literally true, the Bible?
Probably not. The idea that... And no, I'm not a literalist.
Do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim?
I think we do.
Does.
We have different routes of getting to the Almighty.
How about that? That's George Bush, an icon of a president. Family, the idea of that goes all the way back to FDR, even further back, every single one of them. Same idea. That's what we got to deal with. It's to obey government until government calls you to sin. When they said, John MacArthur said that you wouldn't have anybody left if they rejected the mark of the beast. I played that today. Well, they failed to say that you're supposed to reject it. You see, they didn't tell you that. We are to reject the mark of the beast. Reject bringing Satanism in the schools. It's about rejection of the things against God. Universalism says everything's okay. Swedenborg. That's heresy being taught. And there's your president, former president. So you got Obama as the quasi pseudo Muslim, which he's not. He's a light worker. You got Bush and Carter and Clinton as pseudo Christians, and they're not the universalists. They're also light workers. They're all light workers. Different flavors of how they do it. One of the heresies that they've got, we talked about in length about denial of a literal burning hell. And I explained that not before last. Well, tonight, denial of a literal second coming of Christ is what we're talking about tonight. If the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected literally, physically from the dead, and if he appeared physically to his disciples, then his second coming must also be literal and physical. There are some today, I've been told, by the individuals that were Calvinists or preterists, that today Jesus Christ is ruling America, ruling the world. I said, really? That's on another broadcast, another network I had, Micro Effect, I think it was. Had several come on at, I don't know, we're into the Freedom Fighter stuff going on. But anyway, they said Jesus Christ is ruling today. I said, you got to be kidding me. They have no idea about the millennium. I couldn't believe it. These are intelligent people, too. Acts 1:11, if you go to Acts 1:11, I don't see that, how they even get that. Even speculating. I don't understand it, how they can even imagine that. Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go in heaven. Unquote. Now they're going to take that, Acts 1:11, and they're going to put him in a spaceship. It might be a hologram, I don't know. And they're going to bring back that one named Sananda. Yeshua. Disclosure. And make it look like a UFO. Now, can you imagine what Christians that don't know this are going to do? And they hear the voice of the skull, the voice in the head of him talking without opening his mouth. It'll be nothing more than technology. Born again Christians at First Baptist Church are going to freak out. And when you tell them it's a fraud, they're not going to like you too much. Because they're going to see it. And their whole system is going to fail and crash. So these denials of these Bible truths will then take effect. Because it's already taught. Some deny this by insisting the second coming of Christ will be spiritual rather than literal and physical. But the Word of God says otherwise. Paul says in Titus 2, verse 13. I haven't read Titus too much. Old Titus there. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, do y'all get the significance of that verse? You can't get more obvious that Jesus Christ is God from that verse. Remember that verse. Because that one tells you that Jesus Christ and God are one and the same. Jesus Christ is not just a God or a prophet. He is the great God. And he's also our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's very significant. You got verses like that all through the Bible that proves that Jesus Christ and God is one and the same. Very significant. I'm curious here if they had Titus, T-I-T. They changed Titus 1:4. What did they do about Titus 1:4, page 152? Curious here. Titus 1:4, King James Bible says to Titus, mine own son, add to the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, in all the other Bibles, almost all of them, remove the word Lord. Just took it right out. So that way it's Master Jesus. Or he's just a prophet, not the Lord. You see how they work it? That's clever. They just changed little words here and there. That's a proof right there. In Titus 1:4, they removed the word Lord in all the other Bibles. In Revelation 1, verse 7, says, behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Amen, so amen. Even so, amen. That's when he really comes, but not in the UFO. Also, Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. See, there's no contradictions in the Bible. And these authors, some of them hadn't even seen or talked to each other. Jesus himself said, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Zechariah 14:4. Zechariah 14:4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So the literal and physical feet of Luke 24:39 will literally stand upon the literal, physical, and visible Mount of Olives. That's perfectly clear. So there's nothing spiritual or invisible about the second coming of Jesus Christ, because the clouds will be literal. Revelation 1:7. And the fire, 2 Thessalonians 1:8. And the saints, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. And the mountains and rocks, Revelation 6:16. And of course, the thousand-year reign, Revelation 20, verses 1 to 7. That I don't hear too many people talking about nowadays in churches. So a spiritual or invisible second coming is totally foreign to the written revelation of God. It's a physical return. And yet they teach otherwise. How do they get around that? I guess the congregation remains quiet when they know about it, and they don't ask the question because of having fear that they may upset somebody. I say upset them. Then you have denial of the physical resurrection of Christ. They cover this in all areas, haven't they? A denial of the physical resurrection. So the Bible speaks of a literal and physical resurrection. Again. But some teach that he only rose from the grave spiritually, not physically. See, this would tie into the soul sleep for humans. According to the words of Jesus Christ himself, he is not merely a spirit being. He's a literal, physical, risen Savior. So, in Luke chapter 24, throughout, and starting really at verse around 36, the disciples see that the risen Christ, and they suppose that they've seen a spirit with a little s. You find that in verse 37. But now, you know, Jesus clears this matter up for everybody. And he says, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet. It is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones. As you see me have. And that's in Luke 24, 38 to 39. So he showed them his hands and his feet, and they believed. And this is when the second time that the disciples saw him, and Jesus appeared to Thomas, he said, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing. John 20:27. So the risen Christ had the crucifixion scars in his body, and that was to prove he'd been physically resurrected from the dead. Because Thomas, remember, would not believe until he saw the holes in his hands and his feet. I have to see it to believe it. But we all saw him. Nah, I don't care if you did. I want to see it. I want to touch the fingers. I want to put my fingers in the holes. Well, he had that opportunity. Second time that Jesus met the disciples. So if Jesus didn't rise physically, then he lied in John 2, verse 18 to 22. And he said that his body would rise in 3 days. He didn't say his spirit would rise. He said his body would rise. He said his body would rise. Well, when he arose, his disciples remembered this prophecy, and then they believed. You see, he dropped the seed. Then they saw it fulfill, and they believed then. Just like when you, as watchmen, drop a seed that nobody believes, when they see what you've told them, then they'll believe. Because God works through you. You see how that works? Now, if the bodily resurrection of Christ is a fundamental Bible doctrine. The salvation of a person's soul then rest upon this doctrine. Because if Jesus actually didn't physically rise from the dead, as he said he would, then that means we're lost. We're going to hell, according to 1 Corinthians 15:12-19. So 1 Corinthians 15:12-19. For if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there are no resurrection of the dead? If there are no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So if he didn't rise him up, he wouldn't raise the dead up either. We couldn't come up either. He brought up Enoch, Elijah. But bringing Lazarus back from the dead was different. He didn't raise him up in a glorified body. So Lazarus and that young girl died twice. And if in this life only, then we also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep, that means dead, that means the body is in the grave, in Christ are perished. See, right there it shows there's no soul asleep. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, there right there tells you that falling asleep is the same as being raised up from the dead. That falling asleep, those in the ground asleep, are the bodies asleep in Christ. Absent from the body, he's present with the Lord. That means the spirit and the soul is with the Lord. The body is in the grave to be resurrected. Then you got denial of a sin nature from birth. That's a very popular one. The Bible declares the reality of sin from cover to cover. That's a given. And some spiritualist groups insist that sin is only a concept of the mind. Negative thinking. Up for judgment of what's really sin and what's not. That's New Age. And then we get to mind over matter. Here comes Dale Carnegie. Tony Robbins. You got it? That's what they're for. The only solution to this problem that doesn't really exist, mind over matter. Another angle comes from the Church of Christ. You know what they do? They teach that men are not born with a sin nature, but rather they become sinners later in life. And this kind of suggestion is almost funny in a way, and not that anyone's ever taken the time to read the Bible. If you go to Psalms 51:5, for example, in Psalms 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Well, that wasn't nice, but that's what happened. From a time of birth. So, Psalms 58:3. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are be born, speaking lies." That's clear. Romans 3:10, New Testament. All the way down. Romans 3, verse 10. "As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one." And of course, you've heard me say many times, 3:23. "For all sinned and come short of the glory of God." And also 5:12. Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man..." Oh, this is significant. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin." That's where we're headed. "And so death passed from all men, for all that sinned." "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded into many." Romans 5:15. So men are born sinners with a sin nature. That's why Christ, why Jesus said we must be born again. In John 3:3. Now, one that really draws fire, and one of the most popular ones, is denial of the Trinity. 1 John 5:7 tells you about the Trinity. And that's why they changed it significantly in other Bibles. The Trinity doctrine, that's the doctrine that God consists of three distinct persons at the same time. Now, for us material-minded humans, that's hard to conceive of. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And those who deny the existence of the Trinity usually do so because they can't understand it. It doesn't fit our physical boundaries. That's being taught against as well. Those that accept the Trinity doctrine, they really don't fully understand it either. They just believe what God said about it. So, what did he say about it that makes us believe? 1 John 5:7 in the Bible, King James Bible, only. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. 1 John 5:7. He said then, in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That includes the Trinity. He said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and communion of the Holy Ghost will be with you all. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. So you see all three members of the Holy Trinity present at the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3, 13 to 17. So if we go there, Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus said unto him, suffer it to be now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, even Jesus said also, when you've seen him, then you've seen the Father. John 14:9. Peter said that when you lie to the Holy Ghost, you're lying to God. Acts 5:3-4. And God the Father is God. God the Son is God. And God the Holy Ghost is God. And this goes back to the deity of Christ and the deity of the Holy Ghost. It's all connected. No contradictions. And it goes a little beyond that too. Psalms 19:1-6. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. To the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. There's your proof. Right before you. People say there's no can prove God. Right there you go. They'll never accept it. Their minds are closed. Day into day, where utter speech, and night into night, showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language, where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Which is as bridegroom coming out of the chamber, rejoiced as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. There's no secrets in God's kingdom. In Romans 1:20, only time he said to shut up this book, the people then would not understand what was being written. But he revealed it to you all the time. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Talking about the supernatural world. It tells us we can learn through God, through nature. There's your proof. That's why the Wicca see it in Mother Nature. And he actually kind of redirected. The Trinity doctrine is manifest everywhere. And time consists of three parts: past, present, and future. Space consists of three parts: length, breadth, and height. Matter consists of three parts: energy, motion, and phenomena. And the sun consists of three types of sun: rays, or alpha, beta, and gamma. Man consists of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Three outs, nine innings. Numbers in the Bible mean something, but to study them is numerology. They have power, but only a certain level. You know, a family consists of three parts: father, mother, children. See, the truth of the Trinity is everywhere. You don't have to fully understand it. We don't have the capacity to fully understand it. We don't have the dimensional capacity to understand the fullness of God. It's not possible. We like to think we do. So how then can mankind even begin to think that they can debate the Word of God? We don't have supernatural understanding. It's not possible. And yet man tries to. And debate in the Bible is listed as the sins equated with murder and fornication and debate. That's in the scripture. You know, some of these theologians that debate, I wonder if they know that. If they have any idea that when they debate, they're going against God. You'll find it in Romans 1:29. Quote, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers. There you go. So it makes you wonder. You see, the truth of the Trinity is everywhere. We don't have to fully understand it. And God never told us to understand it. Our job is to believe it. God's a Trinity. Three in one. One in three. And the one in the middle died for me. Then you have denial of the virgin birth of Christ. Oh, they hit that one hard. Don't they have a TV program now about some girl on a sitcom or something? And they have nuns every now and then that come up pregnant. I can't imagine. Many deny the virgin birth of Christ. It's a fundamental doctrine of Christianity. From that perspective, the doctrine of the virgin birth, and not immaculate conception, by the way, is a doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ was miraculously conceived, and that of the Holy Ghost, and born of a virgin, without a man being involved. The original prophecy of the virgin birth was given in Isaiah 7:14. And that was 700 years before Jesus was born. In Isaiah 7:14, 700 years before Jesus came into this world, Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. 700 years. Luke 1, 34 and 35. And then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and this power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In Matthew 1, 24 to 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had forbidden him. Bidden him, not forbidden, but bidden him. And took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. You know, it was needful for Jesus to be conceived of the Holy Ghost. Because if he had been conceived of a man, he would have had a sin nature. Psalms 51:5. Remember these. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. In Romans 5:12. Wherefore, if by one man, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, that would have disqualified him from being the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. So the virgin birth is absolutely essential for New Testament salvation. And yet they deny the virgin birth of Christ. Come up with all this New Age nonsense. And that Jesus Christ had children. Another one. Oh, that's going to be played out now. That's going to be played out. Watch it. They're going to be sporting around that Ark of the Covenant. And the Shroud. They've been playing with that for years now. And it's going to come together. They're going to have blood. The Shroud, you watch, will match the remains of King Richard III that they found the bones. Will match the Ark of the Covenant. Will match the blood of the Antichrist. And they'll match Yeshua, the false prophet. So not Emmanuel. The Shroud is a fraud. The Ark of the Covenant will be a fraud. The blood will be a fraud. It'll all be a frog and a fraud. People are going to buy it. That Ron Wyatt, he might have meant well. You know, I got to think about that the other day. Remember Ron Wyatt? The one who found all these things. The Ark and this, that, and the other. He says walking with somebody. Kent Coven was talking about this. And he said that as he's walking in this trash dump in Israel, out of nowhere his finger just pointed and said something about there, there's where the Ark is buried. And the guy next to him said, you said, what'd you say? Family, I get to think about that. I believe that. I believe that. I really do. I believe that's what happened. But I also believe that there was a channeling and overshadowing of Ron Wyatt. That it was prepositioned, placed there, maneuvered, and set up. And as soon as it got the right time, the overshadowing of Ron Wyatt occurred. So Ron Wyatt, might have been a victim, thinking he's doing the right thing. Because I've talked about this before, about the three different ways that the supernatural realm affects mankind. One was, first way, whereby you get thoughts and ideas, plans, that a person gets, certain people in position, and they believe it to be their ideas, thoughts, inventions. Then the second way, it's not theirs at all. And the second way is they do the rituals. They know they're calling upon a supernatural presence, and then the presence channels through them. And the third way is full possession, like an avatar. Now that's really, really summarized. So I believe that that may have just happened. It was a bigger plan than that. I don't think he made that up. It was all prepositioned and pre-orchestrated. I bet you Ron Wyatt didn't even know. Many of these cults prefer the New Bible translations, and they deliberately change the wording of Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:25, and Luke 2:33. And this is an attempt to downgrade the virgin birth of our Lord. But thanks be to God, that the King James Bible can be trusted. Because in a lot of these, they've removed the word begotten. In other ways, they diminished the virgin birth. The family, we come to 9 o'clock. I want to talk about tomorrow several other denials. We'll talk about evolution. I got a long dissertation about evolution. Matter of fact, it's probably about evolution tomorrow night. Yep, it's going to be evolution tomorrow night. Most all of it. I won't beat it to death, but I may step on it. So we'll talk about a little bit about evolution tomorrow. I'll give you some ammunition for that. We'll destroy it tomorrow night. Mary Eddie Baker. The ecumenical movement, we'll talk about that as well. And that will be tomorrow night, because I can see evolution will take a while. Well, family, that brings us here. This is Thursday, right? Thursday. Tomorrow's the last day of the week. And we'll probably go into next week also talking about the heresies. I'll pick up the pace a little bit. I appreciate y'all coming by tonight. I'm hoping to clear this up, this congestion thing I got going on, but we'll see. I got to go to the medical tomorrow. I run out of honey, I got to get some more. Anyway. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll continue on tomorrow night. Lord, thank you tonight, Father, for this Bible study. Lord, to lead us with this knowledge of the false doctrines of the Bible that's been given to us and given to others, that, Father, we're able to identify and correct these at times when we have to. We thank you, Lord, for your King James Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the families we have. Father, give us patience. Give us opportunities to sanctify, to influence others. And Father, give us conviction, trials and tests that will strengthen ourselves. We pray, Lord, for an awakening in this country. Because, Father, we know that we're the last ones in this country, in this world, that are holding on. And, Father, to have a reversal, a revival, before the end times approach. We pray for many more Bible studies. Lord, to lead us in these studies. And this I pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, family, I appreciate y'all coming by. And we're going to close tonight. And in the usual way. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. It's Tom Gamble, your watchman, signing off.
He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the
I am with you every day.